Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Probably don't even have to turn there because it's a very familiar passage. And then Romans 1:21. I'm just going to read two verses this morning. Later on, I'm going to read a few more verses from Romans chapter 1. So once you get to Romans 1, you can stay there. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this: "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then Romans 1:21, basically, in a sense, a real contrast to our verse that we just read here. "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." In 2008, I was asked to speak to the Calvary Church seniors for their October Thanksgiving lunch. So, according to my records, look back in my 2008 calendar, and I spoke there on Wednesday afternoon, October 22nd, so almost 3 years ago. Of course, it was Thanksgiving. I needed a verse on Thanksgiving, and the verse that everybody thinks of on Thanksgiving is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So that was the text that I chose for that morning. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, I was just, you know, getting a sermon, a short talk on Thanksgiving for this opportunity that was given to me to speak to the seniors. What happened, though, is that in my preparation and in the delivery of that message, it began a real journey of understanding on this verse of in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it's been ongoing, and it's been very exciting. I used some of this that I learned in one of my devotional talks to Adventure and Missions. It's like 8 talks I talked about this verse, and it's been gripping me more and more and more and more. And I think I've shared here once already about 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but I want to share a little bit more about that and then show the contrast to what I've learned in Romans 1:21. In a sense, you're getting this morning an example of how a verse can continue to teach, can continue to help us to learn, can get fuller and deeper and more into your life as you continue to study God's Word and wait upon Him. So that's what happened. As I prepared, as I gave that message, I just felt there's so much more in this verse that I need to learn, and been learning that over the years. I discovered that God's purpose in this command for me to give thanks in all circumstances is not just to make a nice, kind, polite, and well-behaved Christian out of me that practices good etiquette by saying thank you in all circumstances. Of course, we want that in our kids, and we want that in Christians, but that's not really the full essence of this verse. I don't even think it's God's ultimate purpose in this verse to make me a grateful person. Although, like Aileen said, Christians should be the most grateful, the most thankful people you could ever meet, because they have received the great gift of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. We should be thankful and grateful people in all circumstances, just like it says in this verse. But there's so much more in this verse. Try to listen to this next paragraph. Really, I'm condensing so much into this one paragraph. "This command to give thanks to God in all my circumstances cuts to the very core of my being, by asking me if I am truly trusting in the God who sovereignly rules over my life. This command calls me to show a deep trust in God's sovereignty and goodness and love in my life. God calls me to give thanks in all circumstances and to rejoice always in my trials as an expression of faith in Him, as a sign of a surrendered will and a willingness to accept the will of God with joy. Giving thanks to God in all my circumstances shows my willingness to live for God's purposes under His sovereign rule. There's a lot in that paragraph. I want to encourage you, if you don't kind of get what I'm trying to say this morning, to go back to our website when this message is posted and to read the script again and to see every sentence, because there's so much packed into just this one paragraph. What I'm saying is that when I truly give thanks in every circumstance from the heart, I am saying to God, I am trusting you. I am submitting to you. I am believing you in all of these circumstances that you are God and that you are good all the time. I find the same principle at work in God's command to rejoice in the Lord always. Same principle is at work there. Or the verse, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. The same principle is at work there again. Can you believe that this trial, this struggle, this difficulty, this blasting of your dreams or whatever is truly the good God at work so that you can rejoice and give thanks and count it all joy when you go through trials of various kinds? All of these commands are asking me to express a deep trust in God in all my circumstances. I believe that one of the biggest causes of discouragement, lack of joy and peace, and bitterness in Christians is our refusal to submit to God's total rule over our lives and circumstances. Ultimately, all anger and resentment towards other people is really a refusal to submit to God's sovereign will in your life and circumstances. Many a counseling session would come to an end if we chose to fully submit to God's plan for our life and surrendered to God's rule over us, giving up our rights and all our dreams and possessions to His direction and control. When I understand what God is asking me to do in giving thanks in all circumstances, I become more like Jesus in attitude and heart and deepen in my relationship with God. Our initial submission to God came when we accepted that we were sinners and asked God to save us through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. When we submitted to God in repentance and confession, He saved us from our sins. From there on, God wants to bring us into a deeper and a fuller submission to Him, a submission that is described or expressed in Jesus Christ, following the will of His Father, even unto death, the death on a cross. The will of the Father was the will of Jesus, so that in all circumstances, Jesus could give thanks to God in willing submission to God's sovereign rule over His life and circumstances. Jesus knew God was sovereignly working in all of His circumstances. Jesus knew He was fully submitted to whatever God willed for His life. And so no matter what the circumstance, He could give thanks to God in all of those circumstances, even going to the cross and dying as a sinner for us, taking on the sin of the world. I hope you understand what I'm saying this morning. And as I said before, if you don't get it, I'd encourage you to try to come to grips with what I'm trying to say this morning, that the principle that is at work behind this command to give thanks in all circumstances, to rejoice in the Lord always, to be joyful in all of our trials and even temptations. Now turn to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read some verses in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. And I'd encourage you to keep your Bibles open after we read Romans 1, 18 to 23. I want to show you now how being unthankful is really an expression of sinful rebellion against God and leads to not becoming like Jesus, but rather to idolatry and immorality. So we're going to do a quick study of Romans 1, verses 18 to 23. Let's read that first together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Verse 18 begins with these words, the wrath of God. Not something we like to think about, especially on Thanksgiving morning. What are you doing, Pastor? This should be a Thanksgiving service. Well, it will be, as you understand what God is saying and why Romans was written. It says the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. If you want to understand the wrath of God, read the Old Testament. Look at how God destroyed wicked nations because of their idolatry. See how God destroyed mankind by a flood in the days of Noah because the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See how he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because he could not find 10 righteous people there. God's wrath is always against ungodliness and unrighteousness, and God's wrath is not something you want to encounter. God's wrath is wrath indeed. The one thing you do not want is to be face to face with the wrath of God on Judgment Day. Some people laugh about being face to face with the wrath of God on Judgment Day. If you understood the wrath of God, just even reading and how he destroyed nations and peoples in the Old Testament because of their idolatry and rebellion against him, it would not be something you laugh at. Look at Romans 2:5 here. It says, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. You're either storing up wrath or you're living in God's grace this morning. Scriptures say, flee from the wrath to come. Ask God to lead you to repentance and salvation. Ask God to change your heart and impenitent heart to a heart that loves Jesus. One of the reasons, again, that Christians should be so filled with thanksgiving and joy and gratitude is because they know that they are no longer under the wrath of God. So we're told this wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Both the meaning of these two words and their order is very important. And I want to just share those two words with you as we proceed through this text. Ungodliness translates a Greek word that has a negative prefix and then the word for worship or reverence. So what this word ungodliness means is no worship, no reverence for God. This irreverence can range from ignoring God to absolute outrage and anger against God. What it describes is an attitude of the heart toward God. Either an attitude of just ignoring God or an attitude of deliberate and outward rebellion against God. Today, most people want nothing to do with God and become angry when presented with the holy God of the Bible. You'll have to come out to Niagara Falls with us one day and just hand out some of these Jesus DVDs and see how people react. Lena came with us the last time and was actually astonished at people's reaction to just this gift of a Jesus DVD to them. Man does not love God or want God in their life. There's no attitude of reverence or worship to God. That is what this word describes. Then the other word, unrighteousness, again is a Greek word with a negative prefix in it and the word for doing what is right. So it means wrong behavior towards God and towards man. This word points to wrong action, immorality, broken relationships, and so on, as described in Romans 1, verses 24 to 32. All that is described in Romans chapter 1 is under this word of being unrighteous. The NIV actually translates this word as wickedness, and that is a good translation. The point here is the order of the words is that first it talks about an attitude towards God, and then it talks about behavior in relation to that attitude. Lack of reverence for God leads to wrong behavior in our lives and toward others. Our attitude toward God determines our behavior. Ignoring and rebelling against God leads to sin that we find in the world today. When we worship God and fully submit to Him, right behavior follows. So God's wrath is first revealed against those who do not honor God because they have wicked behavior which follows as a result of not honoring God. In God's first four commandments, they are called for us to reverence and worship God. And then the next six commandments are a call to behavior in response to our reverence and worship to God. If you don't have that reverence and worship for God, your behavior will not fall in line with God's direction, God's purpose. In the last part of verse 18 and verses 19 to 23, we are given a description of how fallen man wickedly suppresses and holds down the truth, which then leads to immorality, idolatry, and immorality. You'll see that part of this process is no longer being thankful to God. It says the invisible attributes of God, namely His eternal power and divine nature, can be plainly seen in creation in the world that God has made. Man can see the sun and the moon and the stars in their regular movements, the power of the wind and the rain and the sun, the abundance of the fruit in the regular cycles of harvest, the amazing dexterity of the human hand or the eye or the creativity of the human mind, and so much more, which points to a great designer, a powerful designer, a God, a creator. So creation cannot reveal mankind's origin. Creation cannot reveal mankind's fall into sin or God's salvation, but it can reveal that God exists and that He is a powerful being, a divine being. Because of creation, man is without excuse with regard to his knowledge of a greater divine being. Now we come to verse 21. In verse 21, we see man's sinful nature and his hard heart in response to this God who can be known just by looking at creation. It says, man knew God, the powerful creator God, but did not honor Him as God. Literally, it says, did not glorify Him as God. We've been talking about the glory of God on our communion Sundays. They did not give God the glory due to His name, even just as a powerful creator and designer of the universe. As we learned in verse 18, mankind does not revere and honor God as God, because revering God would be submitting to God, and man refuses to submit to God. Then we're told that mankind does not give thanks to God. To thank God would acknowledge that God is the God who created and provided and sustained them and the world, and would again be a submission to God. A thanksgiving to God would be a submission to God. Being unthankful here is not just a lack of gratitude. It's not just forgetting to say thank you because you received something good. Here, unthankful is a refusal to submit to God and a refusal to acknowledge the majesty and the supremacy of God. Again, an expression of what we find in verse 18 in this word, ungodly, unrevering, dishonoring this great and majestic God. As a result of not honoring God and giving thanks to Him, it says in verse 21 that there is a further futility of the mind, a further hardness of the heart that takes place. And as you read on, it leads to idolatry, the exchange of the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Also to a depraved immorality as you go through the rest of Romans chapter 1. Creation provided enough knowledge for humanity to know that God was not a man or a creature, and so man or creatures should not be worshipped, or what is to be worshipped should not be made in the image of man or of His creation. In not honoring God or giving thanks to Him for all of His power and provision, man refused to submit to God and was overtaken by his sinful nature and made foolish and blind and led to worship idols and sensuality and to believe deceptive lies, lies like evolution, lies like we're good enough to get to God, and so on. In Romans 1, we have the history of humankind in relationship to God. Man refusing to honor God as God. Man refusing to be thankful to God for His gifts and His provision. God's command to give thanks in all circumstances is a reversal of man's rebellion and stubborn refusal to submit to God. It is man acknowledging the sovereignty of God. It is man acknowledging the majesty of God. It is man acknowledging God's rule over his life and willing to submit to that rule and to be thankful for God's direction and guidance in their life. The opposite of what we have in Romans chapter 1. This morning I've spoken a great deal about the wrath of God on sinful man. The wrath of God is real and certain for those who do not know Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you as we close this morning that the purpose of Romans in showing us the certainty of God's wrath is to then introduce us to the forgiving mercy of God in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The wrath of God is hanging over everyone here who does not belong to Jesus Christ. But you don't have to face God's wrath if you come to Christ for salvation. I ask you this morning, how thankful are you for God's grace and God's mercy? Are you thankful that God has saved you this morning? That's a sign that you truly belong to God. Those who are not saved and still under God's wrath are not thankful for God's grace and really hate God for saying that He is going to judge them for their sin. So there's a question you can ask yourself. Am I thankful this morning for God's grace? Am I thankful that God saved me from sin? Or do I resent God because He talks about wrath and judging me on the judgment day? For those of us who are believers, how we genuinely give thanks in our circumstances shows how much our hearts are submitted to God and how much more they need to be submitted to God. So in a sense, there's two tests here this morning. Am I thankful for the grace of God and for His salvation? Am I glad, if I had nothing else, that I have God who saved me And if not, I need to come to that salvation. As a believer, am I thankful in all the circumstances I encounter, knowing that God is there, caring for me, guiding me, leading me, and that I'm submitting my heart to Him? And how much we don't give thanks in those circumstances shows how further we have to go in our submission to God. Do not just obey the command to give thanks in all circumstances, because that is what the Bible says you need to do. Well, I'm supposed to give thanks in all circumstances, so I'm giving thanks in these circumstances. So there, I'm obeying God's command. Rather, know that God is asking you to submit your life fully to His control and to His plan for you, and that in honestly giving thanks in all circumstances, you are expressing a heart that is submitted to God.